We all have our spiritual belief, but guess what? Applying spiritual principles in student leadership involves integrating one's spiritual belief and values into the practice of leading and guiding others. You're gonna learn more in this section, of course, We Can't Stop Learning, and our speaker is gonna take us on the topic, Applying Spiritual Principles in Student Leadership. Join me as we make welcome our amiable speaker for today, Pastor Kola Adeboye.
Mommy follow Adeboye. I esteem our amiable father, Daddy Iodemi, whose counsel and guide is why I am still in ministry today. I remember when I needed to go back to school and I put in a resignation letter that I was leaving CRM. Daddy asked me just one question, and that reestablished the counsel of God in my life. Added to that, he gave me the privilege to go to school to do my degree on full time while serving in CRM as a traveling secretary, because I came into full time with an OND by divine instruction. Amen. But I wasn't ready to start full-time work until I have my degree, but God intervened. Please celebrate that your day and me with a clap offering for me tonight. I celebrate the National Coordinator of Christ Redeemer's Ministries, my friend, Pastor K. I celebrate all Zona Coordinators, my friends, and their spouses and all staffs of CRM. I've been out to speak to you tonight on applying spiritual principles in student leadership role. Applying spiritual principles in student leadership role. And I had to eat current realities. I'd like you to please pay attention as we look into God's word and look into our day-to-day scenario situations around us to be able to get a balanced understanding and wisdom that we need to be able to live in the delicate time that we find ourselves at this awesome time. In John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus said there, the Bible said, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. We're speaking about applying spiritual principles, not physical principles, not natural principles, not earthly principles. So we need to look to God to be able to get what we need by this understanding. And the good example is to look at Jesus, who, though God, said here when he came in human form to come and die for our sin, that he came as man bound to repeat whatever he sees his Father do in heaven. So Jesus was committed to applying the principle of actions, the principle of the words that he sees his Father does in heaven, and the same thing he has given to us. No wonder in Matthew 16, when he was talking to the disciples in verse 24, the Bible says, he said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and then follow me. Why? Because when he was talking to us in John chapter 5, verse 19, he had to deny himself and do according to the Father's dictate and actions and instructions so that he can fulfill all the Father wanted him to do as a leader called and brought to bring salvation and redemption to humanity. He also knows that anyone that will succeed as a disciple or as a leader, if the fellow will be committed to repeating what he himself is doing, he will be able to succeed. So he passed across the same principle to the disciples. Now, when we put beside each other the word theory and the word principle, theory can be defined as a supposition or a system of ideas intended to explain something. But principle is a value that is a guide for behavior or evaluation. So theory can be used to explain, but principle is a guide, is an action word that must be imbibed. The word student is in this topic. Now, the word student simply means youthfulness. Applicably means youthfulness, means studiousness. 2 Timothy 2:15, somebody who is ready to learn in order to become. It means passion. Every student is passionate about something, passionate about career, passionate first about studies, and studies to grow into career, and career to be able to go into life. So the word passion associates with the word student. It also has to do with mental capacity or enlarged capacities to live, and then inner strength and readiness to learn and to do. So if you imbibe the word student on your life, that means you are ready to keep doing these things and doing them continuously. Now we'll talk about a student who is ready to apply the principles of leadership to life. The word student also means that you are young. So when you look into scriptures, you find the boy Jeremiah, who was called into the office of a prophet as young as the age of 17. What about Esther? Esther was a teenager when she became a queen, and she was able to use the principle she imbibed from God through her uncle Mordecai to be able to save a whole nation. Let me say to your neighbor, God will use you to transform and to deliver this generation. And it will be so in the name of Jesus. David was the youngest of 8 siblings. It was the youngest that was anointed, probably around the age of 17. And from the age of 17, he had to go through trials that built up his inner capacities and abilities and deepened his intimacy with God to be able to rule first over Judah and then over the entire nation of Israel. I pray for you tonight, as God exposes you to training and continuous building up, may you yield in the name of Jesus. Your amen can be louder than that. Joseph, 17, was sold into slavery, and yet he began to lead. He began to give himself to service, even though there was bondage. So we're talking of students, even though there are situations that can stop you, refuse to stop, that in the midst of your chaos, you are finding relevance in order for God to be glorified. Miriam, through the instrument of, was able to save her brother Moses. She was able to influence the daughter of Pharaoh to adopt her young brother Moses as a baby and to take him in, even though there were laws that stood against any male child of any Israelite to be kept alive. So God wants to build at this year's Congress leadership training program people who will stand with the spiritual principles of heaven to be able to influence human demonic principles on earth, and yet be able to break through and establish the kingdom of God on earth. God will use you in that dimension in the name of Jesus. Samuel had terrible older influences around him. Eli was older than him. The sons of Eli were older than him. Yet in the midst of that, he was different in his generation. He was different in his generation. So this guy called Samuel had a tendency to have compromise. Even though he had Eli who had deficiencies, and his sons who also had deficiencies, he was able to stand out. You are as light. I pray for you, if you can raise up your right hand, you shall be distinct in your generation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Louder than that, you shall be distinct in your generation in the name of Jesus. Amen. You will stand out above others in the name of Jesus. Amen. You will be God's touch light, touch bearer, battle axe, mantle in the midst of many, and you shall be distincted in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your amen can be louder than that. Your amen can be louder than that. Your amen can be stronger than that. Your amen can be vibrant more than that. Those who will stand out in this generation and be God's instrument, their amen will show that they are serious. Can your amen be stronger than that? So you will understand better. John 13, verse 15. When Jesus said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. You don't need many people to copy to be distinct in life. Most times you need the example of God in Jesus and one man in your generation to be distinct. I pray for you tonight that God Almighty will be able to raise from all of you here men and women who will be God's battle axe in this generation in the name of Jesus. Your amen can be better than that. Your amen can be louder than that. Jesus haven't been able to learn from his father and give us the example to follow, said in Mark 16, verse 18, talking to Peter, he said, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail." He's saying the same thing to you tonight, that you are the John, you are the Mary, you are the Tolu, you are the Jide, that he will build his church upon in your school, in your institution. He will use you to build a foundation of righteousness, a foundation of holiness, a foundation of purity in that institution. And that policy, that principle through you will stand in the name of Jesus. And the gate of hell will not be able to prevail in the name of Jesus. And leadership styles varies, and a number of them have evolved over time. And there are leadership styles that are peculiar to specific generations. Now, if you compare generations, the two likely ones we want to look at tonight in 1 minute is to look at the millennial and the Gen Zs. Now, if you bring it down to the Gen Zs, which is far closer to you, which is what you are, there is something strong at this particular time, which is a collaboration effort. There's always this tendency to look for somebody to influence or somebody to influence you. So influence is stronger now even than before. Influence is stronger now than before. Jesus in 3 years was able to influence 12 disciples. One of them missed out, and the remaining 11 became strong instruments to turn things around. I pray for you again tonight. You will be the one that the influence of Christ will turn you around, and you'll be God's battle axe to change the story of your school, of your campus, in the name of Jesus. We're talking of leadership that is spiritual, and we can only get that from God. And brethren, if you look at 2 Chronicles 16, verse number 9, it says, even the eyes of God is going to and fro here tonight. Going to and fro all campuses. Going to and fro every young adult and youth life. Why? Looking for somebody whose heart is strong, sincere towards him, so that he can show himself strong on their behalf. So God is in need of people who have a heart. When the National Coordinator was talking, Pastor K was talking, referring us to our heart when it comes to true leadership. So God is looking for persons like that. No wonder in Exodus 18, when there was a need to raise up more leaders, Jethro looked at Moses in Exodus 18 and spoke to him in verse 21. He said, "Moreover, look for able men from all these people, men who fear God, men who are trustworthy, men who hate bribe, and place such men over people, place them over people, place them over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, and over tens." You look at our campuses today, the president is overseeing the entire fellowship. There are fellowships with over 1,000 in attendance. There are fellowships not more than 500. There are those who are just above 200 or 100, and there are those who are in their growing states. So, and God places you over such persons. There are also units in the fellowships, and the number of unit members varies from unit to unit and from campus to campus, depending on the largeness of the fellowship itself. So God knows your strengths, or he knows where to begin with you from, and then grow you from there upward. And as he grows you from that unit in your campus, he's growing you into the society, so that everything he imbibed in you on campus, he can use it to change the entire world at large. I started from RCF, born again before I got into school, did my ND at Moshiri Abiola Polytechnic, studied mass communication there. My poly, can you shout? I also studied at Olabisan Obanjo University. I did English there. Amen. Amen. So I have a root in RCF. I was general secretary while I was on campus in RCF. I came into CRM right from when I was on campus. I was in the media unit of the CRM unit. Coordinated the media department. Coordinated writing of reports. At the time, I was coordinating the media department and also coordinating the anchoring of LTP and zonal congresses. So God will give the room to build you up. It starts from where you are. It starts from where you are. So when it comes to administrative structures, I began to learn it from there. So that is why it's a bit easy for me to also maintain that even when I became an APICP in the youth. And virtually all I have had to do in the mainstream in the church was pioneering works. But the principles and the structure, God put them in me while I was in RCF and while I was in CRM. I pray for you tonight. May you yield in the name of Jesus. I believe your amen can be better than that. I believe your amen can be better than that. I believe your amen can be better than that. So when we say that leadership has to do with influence, then it is more than just standing on the platform. It's more than just being asked to give instruction. It's about living a life of example. And there are examples of persons that have brought pollution that God wants to use you to change. There's somebody called Alice Bailey. She died in 1945. But there were some things she wrote about and she put forward that has been affecting our world. She said, take God and prayer out of the educational system. Reduce parental authority over children. Destroy the Christian family structure. If sex is free, then make abortion legal and make it easy. Make divorce easy and legal. Free people from the concept of marriage for life. Make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. Debase art and make it run mad. Use the media to promote and change mindset negatively. Create interfaith movements. Get governments to make all this law and get the church to endorse the change. Are we not seeing this in our society today? There are many schools now that even secondary schools, primary schools, that you can't conduct devotions at the assembly again. There are institutions that even having fellowship on campus have been banned. We used to have RCF as one of the largest campus fellowship in Unilorin, a massive structure. But later on, the main structure on the campus, there was a ban, and then they were chased out. I worked as a zonal coordinator in the north. I covered the entire northwest from Kaduna up to Sokoto. We used to have the largest fellowship at ABU with an attendance of close to 2,000. With one law, just one law, every fellowship were driven out of the campus. One man who had this mentality imbibing him. Now, what if that one man, who is the vice chancellor of every university in Nigeria, is all from here? What if that one woman, who is the governor of several states, and member of governors of several states, are product of this particular meeting today? What mentality will you carry into governance? What mentality will you carry into business? What mentality will you carry into the seven different mountains of life? Definitely, below every decision you will have to make, godliness and Christ will be there. Hence the need for you to allow what you have come to do at LTP 2024 to sink deep into you and to affect your life. Psalm 119 verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guiding it according to your word. By guiding it according to your word. Many today ascribe youthfulness to vices and pleasure. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, speaking against that, he said, when you are young, you are actually to remember now. Say to your neighbor, remember now. I don't like the way you are talking. That's not good enough. Say it that your neighbor will remember it in his mind and in his heart in the next few months. Look at that fellow eyeball to eyeball and say, remember now. Say it aggressively. Remember now. RCF, our evangelism is aggressive, is that not so? So say that word aggressively to your neighbor. Remember now. Your creator. Now that you are young. I got born again when I was going to SS1 at the age of 15. And I've been in Christ since then till now. I came into full-time ministry at the age of 27. Next year, I'll be 50. It will be 23 years of full-time. I have no regret about this. Because God has been able to use me within these few days, let me call it few days, to see the need to serve. I'm praying that just as God raised me from the campus into full-time, he will raise at least 1,000 of you here tonight. Sisters, you are inclusive. Amen. Amen. If you look at many of our universities, polytechnics, and institutions, both public and private, there are many things happening that is an eyesore. But God will use you and I to change things in the name of Jesus. I read in the dailies, I saw that August this year, NDLEA is proposing mandatory drug tests for everyone before they are admitted into school. Why? Trying to curb social vices. But what could be at the basis of these social vices that God wants to use you to heal in the campus so that these people in their tender age can be liberated and then come into the outside world and give quality leadership? What are the basis? Poor parental upbringing or absent parent syndrome? Parental financial incapacity. I met a lady at Delta State University years back, during one of our assignments to conduct training before we induct a new set of ESCOs. She was in the ushering unit. While interviewing her, I saw that she was into prostitution and she was on campus. Her only reason was because there was nobody to sponsor her. And then she had a sick mother at home. And the only way is to sell her body to get money to pay her school fees. And she gave her life to Christ in front of me. And then I challenged her that just as the devil has a way to give you money, God has ways to prosper you. And she changed. And today, she's a torchbearer for God. I have seen several scenarios. But I could stand and give that kind of counsel because I also faced such, and God helped me. Are you listening to me tonight? There's a tendency you will be exposed to temptations or vices. There's also a tendency you will be exposed to the grace of God to overcome. I was in primary school, maybe primary 4 or so or 5, when by the influence of a friend, I was in his house, and the only film on the screen was blue film. We call it blue film then. You call it porn now. But because I had good parental upbringing, that was the last time I ever went there. Are you listening to me? While in school, our institution, I almost got introduced to ladies that will give me money to pay my bills if I could be just their sugar boy. But because I had said to God, I will not stain myself. And all through my polytechnic days, I had less than 3 shirts and 2 trousers and 1 shoe for 2 years. 1 shoe, 1 shoe. when I became general secretary and the drama coordinator of the fellowship, gave me a brand new shoe. He didn't size me. I cried. But today, I struggle with which choice of shoe to wear. If only you have a glimpse of your tomorrow, you will endure all temptations and vices now. Because there's something about tomorrow, it is called guilt. Every sin you keep committing as a born-again Christian, it will haunt you in the future. Especially when there is a call of God upon your life. You can preach it with a good conscience. And one of the places to stand is at the altar, to stand at the altar with a guilty conscience. It's dangerous. Are you listening to me tonight? So there are vices. Romans 1:29 talks about being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, and all of. And there are vices all over our campuses. Drug addiction, substance abuse, smoking, add drugs, sex, on the sale, freely on the sale, even within the fellowship. When the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19, that you should know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. There are conflicts, indecent dressing, courtesy, examination malpractice, hooliganism and thuggery, gambling, betting. There are so many Christians today who are deeply involved in betting. The devil, by betting, by pushing to betting, is destroying the fabric of diligence in your life. Anybody committed to betting can never be diligent in life, can never see hard work as a way of progress in life. You always want the easy way. That is why somebody given to betting will one day very soon go into Yahoo, Yahoo, and Yahoo Plus. Many today, you are here, you know, you went to Yahoo Plus because you started from betting. God will set you free tonight in the name of Jesus. And you have a glorious future ahead of you. My first year in the Polytechnic, I had only math, they call it any in Yoruba. And alas, it was borrowed. Second year, I had a tattered phone. But today, in this camp, I have at least my house has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rooms. And each has a phone. Is somebody listening to me? But then I only had an assurance that tomorrow will be all right. Hold on to it. And you will get there in the name of Jesus. Your amen can be better than that. Your amen can be better than that. Your amen can be better than that. All these vices make you an enemy of God. Destroys the structure of family. Destroys the structure of diligence. James chapter 4, verse 4. Hinders educational progress. I've visited mental schools. When I was in Olabijan Obajo University, my project has to do with language. And that took me to Aro in Abeokuta to understudy those who had mental issues, how they communicate. I saw young chaps, 15, 18 years of age. Many of them, drugs took them there. But the initial beginning of taking drugs gives you pleasure. But the Bible talks of the pleasure of sin, that is just for a moment. I pray tonight, can we all lift up our hands where we are? Together we decree tonight, as many of you here, few or some who are under the influence of our drugs, as we all echo amen together, God break the yoke over your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. High rate of mental illness. Depression also comes in. And several other issues that happens. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. So the same voice is going to you in your campus. It was in that my room after my second semester exam in ND2 that this kind of voice came to me. That caller, I need you. Carry your bag. Go straight to redemption camp. Tell them you have come to resume for the call of God upon your life. Because I need you to join the team of CRM to reach out to my sons and daughters on campuses because they need to be free. You are planted here now as president, vice president, ESCO, workers, members. And God wants to use you to liberate every other one on campus. So that as they go into the outside world, they'll be able to go out free and go out as an angel of light in the broader system. I pray for you tonight. In the capacities that God wants to use you as a leader on campus and off campus, may you feel it in the name of Jesus. May you feel it in the name of Jesus. So when you look around at the scenarios on our campuses today, there is a Saul of Tarsus who is a cultist that God wants to make a Paul out of. There is a Mary Magdalene who is currently into a female cult, having several demons inside of her that Jesus wants to set free and will become a ministry strength. There is a David, there is a Daniel, who will find himself in a strange place, yet will be able to stand out for God. So what do I need to do more to stand? The man that God made in Genesis had an identity of dominion and leadership. An identity of dominion and leadership. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let them have leadership. Let them lead. Let them lead from my image. Let them lead with my image. Let them lead through my image. So we are called to lead from the image of God, through the image of God, out of the image of God. And that is what the devil wants to steal, to kill, and destroy. So that we can lead from his own demonic image, from his own evil identity. But he will fail over your life in the name of Jesus. So there is a strong war to fight. War against demons. But we must be committed like Jesus, who said in John 4, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. Like he said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must do the work of him that sent me while it is day. Your daytime in your campus is within the time that you are there. So God wants to raise you to lead from two dimensions. One, as a transformational leader. Matthew 20, verse 28, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It takes a transformed man to live a transformational life. It takes a transformed man to be able to offer the same transformation to others. The reason why God gave us his image so that we can transfer his image through us to other persons. So you can't have the image of the devil and be a president of RCF on campus and expect to give the image of God to those you are called to lead. I'm praying that none of us will be able to be a carrier of demonic images in the name of Jesus. When you are a transformed leader, you will lead from above because your instrument of transformation was God. The Bible says in John 5:19, verily I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing except of himself. But what is here the Father do, you lead from above. What the Father do above, you do on earth. Number two, you lead from the front. A transformational leader leads from the front. John 13, 15, Jesus says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus said to disciples that they were calling, was telling, they said, follow me and I will make you a disciple. I will make you a fisher of men. Follow me. And number three, you lead from within. You lead from within. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If the will of God is not in your life, it can't be expressed through your life. And then you must be a servant leader. Matthew 20, 26, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. When you look at the servant leader, what do you see? Total submission. Uncompromising devotion. High sense of responsibility. Unwavering sacrificial living. Deep loyalty and resolve to prove it. A servant leader is always preoccupied with the vision of his far master. You must be visionary, but whose vision are you supposed to carry? The vision of God for what you are called to do. The instructions as put in the constitution of CRM for why you should lead the campus. That is what you must carry on. And then you must be discipleship based, because every transformational leader will be somebody that will be a discipler, or by extension, a mentor. Matthew 28, verse 18, downwards or upwards. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Say to your neighbor, go. Say, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. God made us, we are to make. With the image of God in you, you are able to make disciples, make other followers. Though there are challenges we'll have to face. Challenge number one, there are blind leaders. And Matthew 15, 13 says, blind leaders cannot lead another blind. They will fall into a pit. So you have to check, who are you following? Are you listening to me? Ask your neighbor beside you, are you qualified for me to follow you? Say to your other neighbor, are you an example I can imitate? I once had two friends. We grew up together as Christians. When they began to live a compromising life, I had to move away from them. I pray for you tonight. Everyone who is living a compromising life around you to want to influence you negatively, may God disconnect you from them in the name of Jesus. There is a Demas that will focus on prosperity and the position of the office. There is a Saul who will prefer people to please people than to please God first. There is a Samson who will put his gifts of power above his fruit of the Spirit. There is a Judas Iscariot who will take negative advantage of his office to make money out of his masters. There are also those who are like Timothy, who will be different in their generation. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible said, let no man despise thy youth. Say that to your neighbor, let no man despise your youth. Say to your other neighbor, let no one despise your youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy and laying on of hands. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself, and unto the doctrine continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Very, very fundamental. Timothy was a youth, like you and I. And he began to lead from when he was a youth. God brought Paul into his life to be able to disciple him, discipline him, coach him, mold him, mentor him as his spiritual father. And he submitted to all of it. If you can submit to the discipline of the man of God above your life, you are qualified for their giftings and their grace at a double level. It was because Elisha was submitted to the discipline and correction of Elijah that he was qualified for his double spirit. But we live in a time where people want the gift of their mentor. They don't want the pains that he went through to receive it and to retain it. And this is what will carry you and see you through. I'm admonishing you today to pay attention to Timothy's life. Spiritual leadership comes with enablement. There are gifts, there are enablement, there are anointing. What should you pay attention to? Number one, pay attention to the fruit of the Spirit. They are the character strength and principle that sustains leadership, that keeps you as a sustained leader, that enables you to practice integrity in the place of leadership, that enables you to stand against temptation, that enables you to say no to sin, to say no to vices, and then the gift of the Holy Ghost, which enables you to be able to be a man of results. And you have to keep pursuing these things until Jesus Christ will come. I'm praying for you tonight that may you look for, seek after the fruit of the Holy Ghost in deeper ways in the name of Jesus. And then Timothy was told to take heed to himself. You must take heed, though. Say to your neighbor, you must take heed. You must take heed. Take heed to studying the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Take heed to consistent prayer life. Not just corporate prayers, but more personal prayers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Take heed to one-on-one evangelism. You need it to grow and to also keep on testifying. Because each time you do evangelism, you renew the testimony of your salvation. You only can evangelize and not give testimony of how you were saved. And each time you tell others of how you were saved, your testimony is your commitment of retaining your salvation. Take heed to your own Christian conduct. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 13, that who is wise among you? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by good conduct. So wisdom is showing forth good conduct. Take it to your own healthy relationships. You can't be in school, be a leader, and be maintaining an immoral relationship. Who do you resemble? When we were on campus, once you come into a position, you can't be engaged. There is a ban on it because it will influence your decision. Besides, you are in 200 level. You want a fiancé or fiancée. Are you not ashamed? They are paying your school fees. You also want to have a girlfriend you'll be giving money to. You're stupid. Yes. You're stupid. How old are you? You want girlfriend. How old are you? How old are you? It will distract you. What if I lose her and I lie? If she's God's will for you, and you are in God's will, you can't miss God's will. You can't. Any turn bottle for my boy? With how much? Tell your neighbor, get out of it, Jerry. How will you not fall into fornication when you started courtship at 200 level? You don't know when you will graduate to Nigerian factor. Are you listening to me now? Nigerian factor, strike. NUC, strike. This one, strike. You don't know when you graduate. NYC, 1 year. You're a medical student. You spend 7 years in school. You do your internship. You do your housemanship, sorry. You do your NYSC. No wonder there is so much fornication and adultery. And then once fornication lays grip on you, adultery will overcome you when you marry. If you don't overcome fornication when you are single, adultery will be your master when you are married. Are you listening to me? I married at 33 and I married as a virgin. Are you listening to me? Was I tempted? Severally. I'm not ugly. I'm handsome. I don't call for girls, they come. But I keep running. That is why I can stand in front of you today. Because I kept running. You need integrity. You need moral integrity, relationship integrity, all kinds of integrity to be able to be a success. Because as a leader, you will interact with opposite sex. Then where is the inner strength? I'm a pastor in charge of province. The total population of my province is over 9,000. Youth Province 8, covering the entire Ondo State. 155 parishes to coordinate. Are you listening to me? With the help of God, I am still running. So how do you stand? Your spiritual maturity and growth. Sufficient to take up responsibility of growing others. Number two, personal maturity. Sufficient enough to be a responsible student, leader of all of followers, and leader of leaders. Galatians 6, verse 5, Ezra 10, verse 4. Number three, moral maturity, sufficient enough to lead as an example of righteousness. An example of righteousness. Number four, ethical maturity, sufficient to make responsible decisions in the fellowship on campus for the good of others. Number five, worldview maturity, sufficient to understand what is really important. Number six, relational maturity, sufficient to understand respect, to understand and respect others and not take advantage of the emotionally weak. Verbal maturity, sufficient to communicate God's will, God's word, and right counsel. Number eight, character maturity, sufficient to demonstrate courage in leadership, humility and respect in leadership, and to be able to take heed of yourself. And you must pay attention to the divine mandate from God. Spiritual leadership is a divine mandate from God. Ezekiel 22, verse 30, I look for someone. Number two, it's a season and a phase of your life. You can't come back to that school and say, I need to come back to RCF and start from another level again because I refuse to submit to God's leading to serve while I was on campus. Number three, expectations of your generation on you at this time. Romans 8, verse 19 says the earnest expectation of creature waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. Let me tap your neighbor and say, we are waiting for your manifestation. The factor of time and chance. Ecclesiastes 9:11. I returned and saw under heaven, under the sun, that the race is not for the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither will yet bread, but time and chance happen to them all. You have your time now. You have your chance now. Don't misuse it. And the Lord will help you in the name of Jesus. I say God will help you in the name of Jesus. So I'd like you to know, brethren, as I begin to close, that God is in need of you. Let me say that to your neighbor, God is in need of you. Say that to your neighbor again, God is in need of you at this time, on your campus, on our campus, and you must not fear God. God is using the campus environment to train you to take up in the outside world the seven mountains of influence. It is a mountain of influence, a place of influence, and people are there. And God is raising you for that time so that you too can be the one that will bring forth the expectations of God in our time and to make life easy. The Bible says when the righteous is in leadership, the people rejoice. So you are meant to be the example and the model of transformation that you want to see in others, like Timothy was mandated to be. And I see God taking you to that point in the name of Jesus. I see God taking you to that point in the name of Jesus. Your amen can be better than that. Your amen can be louder than that. Your amen can be louder than that. Your amen can be louder than that. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. How many of you are in your final years? Can you raise your hand? Just wave it to God. Amen. Amen. That's okay. That's okay. I have a reason for asking you that question. Please be silent. Please be silent. Now listen, final year students. Can you repeat that class again? Can you repeat that school again? But listen, but by the time you write your final papers, you hand over in the fellowship, somehow memory will replay itself and replay to you the chances you did not use to save souls, to influence positively. Every tomorrow will replay today. One mindset I don't want to have is a mindset of what I should have done and I didn't do, and I cannot have the chance to go and do it again. Are you listening to me? How many of you are in your first year, your second year? Can you just wave your hand? I know most of you, or many of you, who are in your 100 level, are saying, I have time. When I get to 200, I will join the fellowship. I will begin to be committed. The first 2 years that you have lost, can you buy it back? No. And there is a mandate of God upon your life that is not waiting for time. Lift up your two hands to God and say, Father, louder than that, Father, over my life, louder, Father, over my life, let there be no regrets. Can you pray in the name of Jesus? Father, over my life, let there be no regrets. Let there be no regrets of serving you and failing to serve you. Let there be no regrets of wanting to come to you and refusing to come. Lord, let there be no regrets. Father, let there be no regrets. Lord, let there be no regrets. Lord, let there be no regrets. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Louder, say, Father. Louder, better, Father. From this very second, I give my all to you. Use me the way you want to use me. To liberate my generation. To set the captives free. To preach good tidings. To set those in yokes free. Can you pray in the name of Jesus? Can you pray in the name of Jesus? Lord, use me to your satisfaction. Use me to break yokes. Use me to set drug addicts free. Use me to set those who are called in cultism free. Use me to liberate those who are under all forms of demonic influences. Drug addiction, drug influences, bad manners. Lord, use me as a light in my campus, in my time, at this time. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. A louder amen. A louder amen. A louder amen. A louder amen. Amen. One more prayer. Say, Father. Louder and better. Father. Keep me relevant till you come. Keep me relevant till you come. Keep me relevant in your work, in your assignments, in your goal, in your vision, in your purpose. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. I'd like you to close your eyes. You are here tonight. You want to say, Lord, I see the need to rededicate my life so that I can correct this knowledge I have had tonight. I would love to pray with you. Before I count five, please be in the front here and let's settle this matter with God. You want to rededicate your life to God tonight so that you can renew your intimacy with God, the foundation of your call and His call upon your life. Run if you are coming. 1, 2, 3. If you are coming, run. It might just be 10 of you, it might just be 15 of you, it might just be 20 that this call is for tonight. Come and renew your life. You know you have missed it. You are walking in disobedience. The promise you made to God before you came to campus is not what you are walking in. Come, let's settle it. 4 and 5. My friends in the front, I'd like you to pray. Say, Lord, I am sorry. I give my life to you afresh. Wash me in your blood. Wash me in your blood. Give me a heart of flesh. Renew your spirit within me. Bring me back on my feet. Renew the call upon my life. Let me be the instrument of liberation on my campus. Free me from every influences, every addiction that I'm into. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that you save these, your children. Break the yoke of sin upon their life. Liberate them from the stronghold of the enemy and let them be free in the name of Jesus. From today, Lord, make a giant out of them to the glory of your name and the shame of the devil. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Now, we need your details because we want to be praying for you. Where are they going? Counselors, are you with them? Okay, please go towards my right here. Just go towards my right. We need your details so we can pray for you. One more prayer. I'd like you to be sincere with God tonight. There are few of you who are under the influences of those vices. Drug addiction, drug abuse. You still fornicate once in a while. There are immorality in your life, and there is a call of God upon your life. The devil will only allow you to carry it on until your day of glory and used to put you to shame. But God wants to break the yoke tonight. If you are not ashamed, I'd like you to come to the front so we can pray for you now. There are certain addictions in your life. You want God to set you free. There's a place of corporate prayers that works. I will count five, and then we'll leave it up from here. 1, if you're coming, run to the front. 2, you are deeply into cultism. Somebody just initiated you. There's something you are fighting that you know is not of God. Masturbation. You are deeply attached to pornography. And there is a call of God upon your life. You are into gambling, betting. Your school fees, you have wasted it on betting. Your allowance, you wasted it on betting. God wants to break that yoke tonight. 3, 4. Run if you are coming. Run. There's no time to waste. You are into prostitution because you need the money to pay your school fees. God wants to break that yoke tonight and see open the door of favor for you. Come. 5. The rest of us, I'd like us to stretch our hands forward. Stand on your feet, everybody. Stretch out your two hands to the front and say, Father, louder than that, Father, all these your children, set them free now. Can you pray in the name of Jesus? Can you pray? Pastor, stretch forth your hands and pray for them. Pastors, please, can we just lay hands on them one minute each? Zonal coordinators, please, just quickly. There are few. Just in 1 minute. Just lay hands on them, please. Every addiction in your life has answer laid on you now. The yokes are destroyed. Every addiction to pornography, addiction to masturbation, addiction to smoking, addiction to drugs, addiction to gambling, addiction to betting. Every existing negative influences upon your life, we command the yokes destroyed now. We command the yokes destroyed now. Just lay hands on them, one minute each. I'd like you to pray. Mention the addictions you are struggling with. Father Lord, as answer laid on this, your children, this very moment, every addiction in their life, we command it broken. I command it broken. I command it broken. I command it broken. Under the influence of the corporate grace and anointing in the house tonight, Lord, we decree every addiction in the life of all these your children, they are destroyed this very moment. They are destroyed this very moment. They are destroyed this very moment. Every addiction of pornography, or being a lesbian, or being a gay, whatever it may be that is in your life, we command it broken now in the name of Jesus. Every addiction to bad habits, every addiction that the enemy has put upon your life, using to put you into shame, fornication, every addiction in your life, command the yoke destroyed now. This very moment you are free, as hands are laid on you, you are free. 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 Every demon of addiction inside of you, I cast them out now as hands are laid on you in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of addiction, every demon of addiction, every principalities and powers sponsoring addiction in your life, I decree they are cast out now in the name of Jesus. Every desire, every evil desire pushing you into it, this very moment they die. I command you to die. Every passion to go into betting, I command it destroyed now. Every evil desires, their yokes are broken this very second. Broken this very second. Destroyed this very second. Broken this very second. In your life, in the name of Jesus, whoever the Son set free is free indeed. You are free now. You are liberated now. This very second, you are liberated. You are liberated. By the power and the blood of Jesus, you are liberated. By the power in the name of Jesus, you are liberated. By the power in the name of Jesus, you are liberated. By the power in the name of Jesus, you are liberated. It is written at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every demon sponsoring those habits in your life, I command them to bow. I command them to bow. I command them to bow. Every spirit of condemnation that keeps you in that bandage of that yoke, I rebuke it. Every evil voice that speaks into your ears and drives you into the addiction, I silence their voices in your ear and in your heart. Every evil spirit that pushes you, that you have insatiable desire for sex, I command them to be destroyed now. I command them to be destroyed now. Every demonic influences that says you will not occupy the calling of God upon your life by the demonic influences of vices, you are liberated this very second. You are liberated this very second in the name of Jesus. Liberated to take your place, to stand as a leader, to liberate others, to stand as a force for the freedom of others in the name of Jesus. Thank you, righteous Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. In the name of Jesus, you are free. In the name of Jesus, you are free. In the name of Jesus, you are free. By the power of the blood of Jesus, you are free. You are free, and you will never be bound again. Every desire, every push that takes you into those vices, I decree that their yoke and their power are destroyed in your life permanently in the name of Jesus. From today, you are under the strong influence of the Holy Ghost to do righteous things, to walk in righteous ways, to live in righteous life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, righteous Father. Somebody shout hallelujah.